As New York looks to dramatically cut its greenhouse gas emissions by 2050, the state's major polluters are being eyed, such as the transportation sector and the buildings across the state. But state lawmakers are also setting their eyes on some of the less obvious players. Case in point, legislation that would highlight the environmental footprint of the fashion industry while also funding environmental justice initiatives. To discuss the proposal from Democratic state lawmakers, we're joined by Maxine Beda, director of the New Standard Institute, a think tank focused on the fashion industry, which backs this legislative proposal. Welcome to the show, Maxine.
Thank you so much for having me.
So this legislation is designed to hold the fashion industry responsible for its contributions to climate change and reform some current business practices, hopefully. But at first glance, I don't think anyone would assume manufacturers of clothing and accessories are a major contributor of greenhouse gas emissions. So what is the fashion industry's environmental footprint like?
Yeah, well, it is the a dirty little secret of the fashion industry that just on the climate side of things, the fashion industry is responsible from anywhere between 4 and 8.6% of global greenhouse gas emissions. So it's an enormous contributor. People have not, up until this point, tended to think about the fashion industry, but the data is there, and it's an egregious industry. And unfortunately, without legislation, the impact of the industry is only increasing.
And where along the process of a clothing item being designed and a clothing item being worn does the environmental footprint come from?
So there's an environmental impact across the whole supply chain and end of life of a garment. But the real hot spot from where the data is suggesting is at the textile mill. That's at the stage where fiber is converted into a textile that is then cut and sewn into a garment. And so what we, you know, it's kind of become an out of sight, out of mind, certainly for New Yorkers, because production is, moved far away from New York borders at this stage. But it takes a enormous amounts of energy to turn that raw fiber to spin it into yarn and then to weave or knit that that yarn into textile and then to dye and finish that textile. And this is happening in places like China that still rely on a coal-based energy grid. And so we've also, we have this very energy-intensive process happening within a coal-based energy grid. And then we're seeing a business model that has moved to ever disposable clothing. So the speed of this process is happening at ever greater speeds than ever before. And so that's kind of this perfect storm for such an industry with such an enormous climate impact.
So if I'm an apparel or footwear retailer with a global revenue of more than $100 million and I operate in New York in some capacity, what would this legislation mean for me if it becomes law?
So what it would mean is that on just the climate side of things, it would require the company to set and achieve science-based targets. And what that means is a company that is selling to New Yorkers will have to operate in line with planetary boundaries as set by the Paris Agreement. Anything short of that, which is how the industry is currently operating, means that the industry would be operating outside the bounds of the planet. What this bill would require is that companies set and achieve science-based targets. And also, significant impact of the industry is on human rights. It's an industry that the U.S. Department of Labor have found is rife with child labor, modern-day slavery, wage theft in the industry. And so it's a requirement also to set targets for labor impacts and achieve gains on those targets.
And is there a timeline that would be envisioned with this legislation?
Yeah, so there are kind of two key timelines in mind. The first component is sort of 12 months to track a company's actual supply chain, because this industry has kind of lost touch with its own supply chain and is not even aware in many instances of where that supply chain is, who's actually making those products. And in order to address the impacts in the supply chain, a company needs to know where their suppliers are and who they are. So there is kind of 12 months to get that work underway, and then 18 months to set the targets from there, and then, you know, it would be a matter of implementation thereafter.
So then it's more than just making information available to consumers. This is also about curbing existing practices that end up polluting our environment.
Absolutely.
And what are some examples of brands that this would apply to? Does the threshold that I mentioned, that $100 million in global revenue, mean that this would capture most companies that we think of when we are shopping for clothing?
I think it captures those mall, you know, stores, the brands, yeah, that we tend to think of. But, you know, it also reaches significantly kind of newer players like Shein that have, you know, very quickly are taking market share away. And what this bill does is set a level playing field so that industry players that are trying to do the right thing aren't financially penalized for doing so, because it would just be the cost of doing business. And we think that's what's important for, you know, New Yorkers, is that, you know, that we're not, you know, we're not helping fuel a climate crisis and help fuel labor exploitation. And so we need to see that this is just the regular cost of doing business in selling in New York State.
Well, speaking of the cost of doing business, this legislation would most likely have long-term benefits for New Yorkers as we look to curb the consequences of climate change. But what about more immediately? Is this going to mean that the retail items that New Yorkers are looking to buy will cost more in the short term, at least?
So several leading companies have set already these science-based targets. So they've already, presumably have gotten to work on achieving the targets that they have already publicly set. And so, you know, we're not, you know, anticipating, you know, or it's really, it's following the path of what the companies have already committed to doing. And then the researchers that have done work in terms of, the cost that it would take to provide a living wage to workers, or to move in a way in which we're addressing serious labor concerns, have found that it would not be a significant cost increase for the customer. And it's really up to the brands themselves to adjust and make sure that they are able to provide products at, you know, the right prices for their customers and address these serious and existential concerns.
Do you think this would be the end of fast fashion companies that produce, you know, essentially disposable clothing?
I can't comment on that. I think, you know, it is setting the standard of which, you know, there are fast fashion companies that have set these targets. So they've said that they can do it, and now it's just providing a law to ensure that they are.
Because of the size and scope of the New York market, is the expectation that this legislation, if enacted, would change the business practices of companies all over the world and have consequences just much, much more broad than the 19 million people who live in New York?
Absolutely. It's taking a page from the California playbook with the fuel efficiency standards, in which they understood that they had a state with a large market size and could drive a global standard. And that's very much the idea behind the Fashion Act as well.
Well, we've been speaking with Maxine Beda. She's the director of the New Standard Institute. Maxine, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.